right into it. So
yeah, I have Remy Cashman back on, also known as Coke Francis. I watched your recent video of Sinéad. I almost said the name correctly. Sinéad O'Connor is how you say that, right? Sinéad.
Sinéad O'Connor.
Yeah.
Are we recording right
now? Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to say the name correctly. I didn't say her name correctly.
Yeah.
But you did that with Pee Wee Herman, too.
Yeah.
You covered both of them. I thought that was really, really good, that video.
Thank you. I think it was because I was at a con a few weeks ago. And I spent so much time prepping for that, and it went so long since I made a video, and I was kind of out of ideas. And, My co-producer, he also co-wrote the episode with me, and he also, like, helps film. He does my thumbnail art. He's the best guy. So it was actually his idea, because he's like, hey, you know, the other day you brought up that Sinéad O'Connor and Paul Rubens both got, like, really dicked over by society. And she
Was
talking about that. Like, perfect.
It's so true.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it really is, like, that's one of the things, like, I love Paul Rubens. I think it was amazing. You know, it was so sad to hear what happened, and
I actually cried, and my partner hugged me.
Oh, wow. It's so weird. I was, like, the week before it happened, I watched, just on a whim, like, I was thinking about it, and I watched, the first episode of the TV show, just, like, randomly, and then, like, a week later, he died, and I was like, oh, shit, that's crazy.
It's so good, and, like, I don't remember how old, because, my dad was really into, my dad was who got me into him, and I had grown up watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's absolutely, like, my go-to feel-good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime someone hasn't seen it, I'm like, do you want to watch a movie where only good shit happens?
It's so good.
There's still a conflict, but only good shit happens for 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And it's
like Grandma's Boy. It's like, you want to see a good movie where only good shit happens?
Yeah.
And then he got me into the show, and he's like, yeah, this is, like, the thing he was most known for doing, and it was, everything he did was so great, and it's also, and I get a point of bringing this up, because, like, the 80s and 90s were still, like, super homophobic.
Oh, yeah, and... he's one person who, I don't mean to cut you off, he's one person who, I always heard, like, not in a bad way, but, like, just that he was, like, probably queer. Like, one of the things that I learned, actually, was, the whole, thing that happened with him being busted in the movie theater was a huge common thing in, for a lot of queer celebrities. It would happen to a lot of them, like, in those type of theaters. So he was sort of part of, like, it was kind of like a sting kind of thing of, like, they would go after, but he never came out as anything. I think he was, like, married, but, like, he never came out, like, but I always got that vibe from him, not in, like, any negative way, just like, oh, he may be queer. And it's just, like, it always made me, like, kind of upset that he never really, if he was, he never really could come out. So it was, like, this sort of a thing that's sort of sad you see with a lot of celebrities. It's,
And that might have been because he was a kid, so I don't
think. Yeah.
And you know, that puts that added pressure of, like, oh, if you, if, because, like, oh, no, if you come out, it's a horrible thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, people are so awful now, but it's definitely not as big of a deal now. But I mean, back then, if even if none of that had happened, if he just came out as gay, like, they might have treated him the same way.
Right.
You know, and it's so messed up. And then, bunch of Gen Zers finding out about him for the first time and being like, apparently he was arrested for stealing in 2002. And I'm like, yeah, except that's not, like, what happened.
Yeah, it was just like...
Nobody wants to do their research, they just...
That was just... I always feel like that was such a negative, like, misunderstanding of one thing. And I can totally understand it from, like, from the context of how bad it looks. But once you look into it, it's like, no, it wasn't something. And he kind of got on it. And the one thing that's good is, like, it didn't seem like they hassled him too much. He had, like, a year where he, like, couldn't be around children or whatever in his town or whatever. But, like, they didn't, like, if there was something, it would have been a lot. Like, if he did something, it would have been a lot worse. Like...
Yeah. Also, and I mean, strangers on the internet don't know this about me, but, like, if he actually had been in possession of CP, like, I wouldn't be making a video about it.
Right, of course,
you know,
yeah.
Strangers on the internet don't know that. But thankfully, like, I've only gotten good feedback so far. I haven't gotten anybody being like, did you know that? I'm like,
Yeah, everyone who kind of, like, is, like, at a level like us where we kind of know all about him, like, you kind of know about that, and it's a shame because, like, he was just, his sense of humor was so great, and I think that, like, that creativity, the one thing that I love about his story is just the, like, the true anger of an artist. That's, like, my favorite thing about him. My favorite story about him was, like, he tried to get on SNL, and he... Do you know the story that he tried to get on SNL? He had a similar acting style to Gilbert Gottfried, so he chose him, and he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do this character I created in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, he's hosting SNL with Pee Wee Herman. It's like, yeah. It's like... That's, like, awesome to me. He, like, fuck it. I'm gonna make this the most popular character of all time.
Yeah, it's super, super early in Harrison Ford's career when he was, like, first trying to make it as an actor, like, there's a producer who, like, told him straight up, like, you are not going to make it. Like, give up. Find a new dream. You're not going to be an actor. And then years go by, he becomes, like, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and then that producer, like, gets in contact with him, and he's like, hey, let's go out to dinner, I have an apology.
Right. Yeah.
Well, like, that's cool. At least, you know,
I mean, Spite is a huge part of, I think, a lot of performers. I've had it where it's like, oh, you don't think I can do this? I can do this. It's like... But, I was curious, you've been doing a lot of the Coke Francis stuff. Do you, this might be a stupid question, but do you do a lot of, like, drag shows, like, recently?
Oh, I want to.
What?
I really want to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's just how I spent my first year of the pandemic. And then started making videos, and I was like, I'm not so much just like strictly a drag queen. I'm just like a YouTuber who does drag.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if there's ever like the opportunity for me to just be flaming in front of a bunch of people, yeah, that'd be so great.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you put so much effort into it and, like, to really make yourself, like, look that way. It's, like, crazy impressive to me.
10 minutes.
Really? That's all that it takes?
That's what I tell people, because I was in drag all weekend at Midsummer Scream a couple weeks ago, which is a horror and Halloween convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a bunch of people asked me, like, how long does it take to do your makeup? And I would always just be like, 10 minutes. Super easy. Anybody can do it.
Wow.
No, it takes me, I think my makeup takes about 2 hours. Depends on how much I messed up.
Oh.
But it takes between 2 and 3 hours to, like, fully, you know. Anyway.
Right. So, do you still write for, do, like, a lot of comedy writing and stuff like that for different websites?
I don't do stand-up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Such a cliche, but it's really true. Ever since everything started opening up after the pandemic, there's just like been this weird shift in vibes. At least in the LA comedy scene, I don't know how it is in other cities. But in the LA one, it was like, I was like, why does everybody, does anybody actually want to be here?
Oh yeah, I can see that, how that happens, because I bet it's so, like, the only thing that I probably, like, that I know from it is that it can be very competitive and, like, very much, like, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of community as there is in other states with comedy. Like, it's the same problem that New York has. It's so competitive and so, like, lack of, like, actual friendship that it's, like, it can probably be, like, debilitating to do every night and be like, oh, this is demoralizing.
Yeah, and, but what I am still going to continue to, I haven't done it in a while, but I am going to go back to it, I am going to go back to Roast Battle.
Oh, cool.
Because it's like, all right, you know what, this is a competition, it's honest, it's at least the fact that it's competitive is out.
Right.
Whoever wins really doesn't matter, because nobody remembers who wins, they just remember a good show.
Right. That's probably a great venue for you and your stuff, because it sort of fits your, like, not that you're a mean person, but, like, your comedy is pretty much, like, in that little bit of sassy, like,-ness, which is great, and that must be something that you're really good at with that.
I was actually just talking to somebody about this. So I haven't done Roast Battle in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I did it, it was the first one at the Comedy Store since the pandemic had shut everything down. So I think it was like July.
Mm-hmm.
2020. And the only people there in the room were me and my opponent, the host, the guy filming, because it was like being broadcast live on like Periscope or something,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Ross, and another judge, and that's it. That was it, no audience, no nothing. Like, it was, and it's, they were the best roasts I had ever written in my life.
Ah, well, that's good that it went well. And that you wrote, like, well, that's good. Did you get, like, good feedback from him?
Yeah, like, I always like when Jeff is there, because, like, I've noticed that the judges are, like, a lot nicer every time he's there, because he's a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And he always actually has, like, constructive feedback to give, because a lot of the times they're just, like, acting as if they'd rather be anywhere else, and it's like, yeah, this is a competition to see how funny of an asshole you can be, not how much of an asshole.
Right.
You know, like, pretend you're having a good time for once. but, yeah, I mean, he had good feedback for us. He told both of us that we did a good job. It was a tie, which I found weird. But again, I'm very competitive. it's fine. But yeah, I really do want to get back into doing that. And also, I like the fact that it's different from what I normally do, because I learned the hard way that they don't like cerebral humor, which is usually where my brain's at. So I was like, okay, I will take note of that.
What do you mean by cerebral humor?
Huh?
What do you mean by that? Oh, yeah, you can't be highbrow. Like, yeah.
But that's where the challenge is. It's like writing that fine line between making somebody laugh at themselves versus, like, hurting their feelings.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very fine line.
You know, it's kind of... Sorry. The thing that's, like, really weird about comedy is, like, with stand-up and, like, the only closest thing with roasts get close to, like, normie humor to me. Because normal people humor is very lowbrow. It just is. It's just like, you want good writing, you're going to see, like, it in TV or in stand-up. A lot of just humor, just local, like, what's the word? Like, like socially, it's just very lowbrow and very much, like, not the smartest shit. So, you kind of have to, like, get used to that. Like, to me, I always have, like, a mix of feelings with, like, roast battles. It's like, part of me likes to think of, like, it's a good writing exercise. But then part of me is, like, I don't like to do it to strangers. It's like...
You get to know your opponent. Like, you meet up with your opponent, and you get to know them. I think there are, like, in the roast battle Facebook group, like, there was, like, a questionnaire, or a couple questionnaires that people posted. It's like, hey, if you, like, need help getting started with, like,
oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's an important thing. Yeah. I don't think right. I think we don't... The one that I have, they're very good, the people that they do it. They probably would do it. Maybe they do that, but... I don't know. I think it's so different. I don't think they would do that where I'm from. But it's such, like, a different vibe, especially, like, being from New Jersey. It's such a similar, like, that's just the way that comedy is. Like, that's the one thing that's really tough about, like, what a lot of my friends are doing with, like, a couple of my friends are in comedy are they work at this club now, and they're trying to get younger comics on because they just don't, like, never really booked, like, newer comics, and they're very used to having the same, like, 5-6, like, boomer comedians who, like, two of them are actually really, really great, nice, like, awesome comics. They're great.
Yeah.
But it's just the style. It's, like, that very much, like, that New Jersey, just, like, that make fun of the crowd, like, front row, like, stuff. And... It's like, I hate crowd work so much.
it could go any way. You never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I will say, and I know people love to hate on him, and the fact that he does a lot of crowd work, but I think Matt Rife has kind of changed the game.
Oh yeah, well. He's really good.
He's made all the unfuckables of comedy really bad by existing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking about him, yeah, earlier when I was talking about him, yeah. Because what really won... I don't know if he's mad at me or not. I did get a big thing on Twitter. I got a very popular mixed response. He was complaining... grousing about people not behaving well at his show, at his shows. Yeah. So I tweeted, I said, comedian posts crowd work clips online exclusively, audience goes and expects that from him. And then I put comedian and then surprise Pikachu face. And it got like a big like reaction. I was just like, that's the content you put out, dude. That's what you're gonna get. And
yeah.
It wasn't towards anything, but, like, so, like, I got, like, 30 likes, but, like, three or four people that were, like, fans of him, like, got on my ass, and I'm like, dude, it's like, I'm in the same genre. Like, I understand what he's going through. And it's no hate towards him, because I understand it, but it's just, it's a thing that happens. It's a double-edged sword of doing it. It's like, that's the tough thing, is we're always constant. It's the one, stand-up is odd because it's the one art form where you constantly have to teach the audience how to behave. So it's very tough because people will come and they'll expect one thing, and it's like, I always feel so bad for people like that, because I'm just like, because that's not just what he does. He does material. And, like, the one thing that I love about his material is just, like, what I got the sense of it when I was, like, he was like, he reminds me a lot of Ralphie May. And then I looked on, I put their name together, and I saw that he opened for him, like, a whole bunch, like, toured with him for many years. And I was like, oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. Like, Ralphie was, like, mentored to him. But, yeah, it's...
Mm-hmm. Before that, and the one that
they
just put out, like, just
beat
the shit out of the other one, and I'm like, that's
my boy. Good job. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. That's great. That's a great way to put it. Do you watch still, like, a lot of stand-up? Like, are you able to watch, like, a lot of it? Yeah.
I have heard mixed things about Tom Segura's new special.
I thought it was great.
Better than his last one. I thought it was hilarious.
Did you like it, the last one? The Sledgehammer one? Yeah. Right.
Like, oh my god, that's us.
Yeah. I thought that special was great. I watched, I had Peacock, so I watched Kevin Hart's one, and I heard it was good, and it was, like, so amazing. Like, it was better than, like, his past four ones that he's done. It's like, this is so great. It's like, it's a shame it's on this, like, app that no one uses.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I watched a little bit of, Joe List has a new one too, and I just watched a little bit of that, so I was like, it's so tough though, because then I got I got into a rabbit hole of of podcasting hell of comedians that I don't like, of like, I don't know, I just got into like this, like, I saw this Chris D'Elia video, and I was just like, it was like, now I have to watch this stuff that makes me upset to watch. Like, the one person that I can't stand, like, I don't know how you feel about him, is, what's his name? I just heard his name. It was, I was just listening to all those podcast guys. I was just like, it's not good. I was like, and it's so tough, like, because I feel like with all of them, like, with a lot of them, it's like, people become, like, popular through that. Like, that's the one problem that I have with Tom Segura, really, is, like, I love his comedy, but, like, I don't really care about his opinion in, like, real life at all. Yeah.
Do you know a comedian named Robin Tran?
Yes, I do.
I adore her.
Oh, she's great. She's fantastic. I tried to get her on the podcast, but she was too busy, and she was like, I don't want to do podcasts. Like, and I was like, okay, that's fine. But it wasn't like a mean thing. She was super nice to me. I was just like. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, shit, I found it. Okay, because I was typing it. So, she wrote an article for Chortle about how podcasts are bad for stand-up.
Oh, yeah. I think I read that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's one... Like, the last line is, and if this trend continues, comedy specials cease to become special because nobody has anything to say and everything to sell.
Right, and it's...
And it's 100... It's so true.
And I think the toughest thing with stand-up to me is, especially, like, how the podcast thing, like, sort of happens, is I think this happens with everyone when they get, like, sort of... It happens, like, with 99% of people. Like, they sort of... They find their group of people that they're very... They find their fan base, and then their fan base will just listen to them, and it becomes more, like, people watch you for your opinions more than they watch you for your... comedy or more of what they agree with than like exactly. than like what you're doing, and you're putting out like a, it's like in part of that I can understand, but to me it's like I think you just get stuck in like a tunnel vision of like, okay, this is what I'm gonna talk about and this is the stuff I'm gonna do.
Yeah, so and
Right. Yeah.
You know, your job is to make people laugh, not to make people go like, I agree.
Right.
Like,
yeah. And it sucks because
not the audience should be laughing, the other half should be horrified.
Right. And it's like I can understand, you know, I think one of the toughest things is like when it's done really, really well, like Carlin and some people, like it's such an anomaly when that happens, when people can be like political and good. It's like such a rare thing. It's a rare thing. And people act like it's something that like every comedian does. It's like, no, it's a rare feat.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I would just remember the name of who I was going to complain about with Andrew Schultz. It's just like, I can't stand it.
Oh, God, me neither. Okay, finally I can say this out loud. He stole a joke from a post on Tumblr that I would watch when I was 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
Tumblr that I saw in, like,
2014. Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, dude, really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. I think the one thing that just always annoys me with him is it's... I don't mind political humor, but it has to be correct. And when someone is, like, incorrect politically, like, not politically incorrect, of like, they say something that's, like, bad, like, quote-unquote bad. I mean... When you say something that's just objectively not, like, in good faith of, like, anything.
Yeah.
I was, like, the thing that annoyed me was he had this series where he was, like, he would watch, like, Fox News and then, like, CNN and then, like, do, like, a, like between them. I'm, like, dude, you know they're owned by the same company, right? You know those people are owned by the same company, right? They're not different.
One of the first videos I ever did was on a movie, and I think this is the worst movie I've seen for this channel, for sure. I don't think it's the worst movie of all time that I've seen, but it's definitely the worst one that I've watched for this channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called An American Carol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that you did a video on that, and I heard about it. I never watched it.
It's so bad. Okay, there's a podcast. podcast, I got really into it, and I found out about it because someone brought it up in the comment section of my video. It was like, who else is here for god-awful movies? Which is now my new favorite podcast. And I highly recommend checking them out, if you can. But they just talk about, like, really bad, most of the time, faith-based films. And they're like, oh, like, you suck because you're religious. It's like, no, the religious people who made this suck, and this movie sucks.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't shitting on people who have religion, honestly. Like, I just... Like,
no, I mean... Yeah.
I have religious friends, like, I don't like to do that
shit. Yeah, I mean, but it's tough. It's always tough. Like, I constantly, like, I have a new bit in my stand-up about, like, about it, of, like, how I never want to come off as an asshole towards people who are religious. Because it's really, like, it's, like, not like a cop-out, but it always seems like the people who are the worst just make people look worse than they are. It's, like, but that just, I think that happens all the time. But it's so tough to see. And especially with media, I think it's so tough with that, like, combined thing. To fit a narrative around, like, all those movies are terrible, but it's like, at least they fit, like, they're not going after everyone. It's like, at least there's a certain audience that can watch it and be like, okay, that's for them. That's not for anyone else.
And I mean, this movie wasn't even, like, religious or anything. It was just, like I talk about the fact that, like, it's trying to be satire, but, like, satire has to be based in truth.
Right.
Like, that's why South Park works.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you can make fun of the left easily. There's so much to make fun of,
yeah.
But the jokes have to be based in facts. Like,
right.
Like, when South Park makes fun of the, like, self-righteous, like, I'm better even you because you just went, like, that is a fact. Those people exist.
Right, exactly.
You know, but this movie, it just makes shit up. Like, nobody wants to cancel the 4th of July.
Right.
Nobody. It's not a thing. It's never been a thing, and never will be a thing.
Right.
Nobody cares. Like, it's just...
But I think that's also, like, they take, like, if you don't love everything, like, that's just a side rant for me. Of, like, if you don't love everything about the country, it's like, oh, there must be, like, some big vendetta against it. It's like, no, there's just room for other appreciation of other things. But, yeah, it's surprising just to see that. So I was surprised with, like, that was the one thing that I was surprised to see was, like, Kelsey Grammer of learning that about him was like, oh, I was like, oh, that's disappointing.
It was so many celebrities in that movie. Like, a lot of them I'm not surprised about. You know, John Voight, obviously. James Woods, as much as I love him as an actor, like, mm-hmm. I know what he's like. But this is like, okay, I wasn't surprised about that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's... Yeah. I was like, no, that's not... Yeah, it's so disheartening. Yeah, so it's just... But, it is crazy, though, how, like, that is just... It's so hard. I think it's so hard, though. I think the one thing that, like, South Park kind of has changed, like, a lot, and that's not, like, I don't know if you still follow, it's not as, their satire isn't even as great as it used to be, because, but it's just so hard, because, like, I think their narrative has just changed so much throughout,
yeah.
And it's, like, that's the one thing that I could never understand with, like, stay. Also, you can be around for too long. I think that can happen. Like,
yeah.
I think that happens with a lot of people too, and a lot of, like, You know, it's like some people just need to like stop. It's like it's over.
They have, you know, families now, and they're, I think they're now looking at, from the, I think they're looking at the world, like, less cynically and more of, like, what kind of world do we want our kids to grow up in?
Right.
Because I don't have kids, but, like.
No, me neither. Kids,
you know, so, I don't know, there's some banger episodes from the most recent. The Kanye one, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
That one had me absolutely rolling. but I also like the fact that the kids will be like, hey, are you okay? Like, do you need to talk to somebody? Like, you know, that's fine. Doesn't have to be me.
Right.
But I do, like, agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get you.
Yeah, it can be really. I think that's the one thing that kind of like ruins the getting older is like, oh, I have these views. And like, that's the main thing is like, I try to make it as safe as possible. Like, I want to be able to enjoy some stuff. Like,
yeah.
And there's some stuff that I can really like. The one person who always continues to surprise me with like how like nuanced his stuff really is Bill Burr. Like,
yeah.
He continues to, like, surprise me in, like, a good way. I'm always, like, I always love his stuff because it's always, like, so self-aware. Like, you might not agree with something, but then he'll turn it on its head and it'll be like, yeah, that's, like, perfect.
It's gotta have the self-awareness, I think. And I think that's what, I think I'm pretty sure I brought that up in the Moral Control video. It's just, like, there's just no self-awareness.
Right.
You know.
And also, that just makes you, like, if you have that self-awareness, I always feel like that, and I think the one thing that I always think with South Park that sort of made it, like, good is they were always, the one thing that's kind of, like, hidden that they don't really do is, like, in the beginning, they kind of make fun of themselves for doing all the voices, and, like, the animation isn't perfect. So, like, there's a thing with that. So it's, like, that makes it more palpable of, like, if you don't make fun of yourself in any type of way, like, I think that's one of the reasons of, like, that's the one, like, Norm MacDonald is great, but he's, like, the one person who I think could really get away with not, like, being, like, having to take aim at yourself. Because, like, so many, because you just have to do that, like, you have to sort of make fun of yourself a little bit to, like, make people like you.
I think for a while, like, it was starting to affect the way that I was treating myself.
Oh, so, yeah.
I haven't been, like, encouraging it openly as much for myself. But it'll still come out, because, like, that's just my sense of humor.
Right. Yeah, I have the same type of sense of humor. And it's tough, because you gotta be, like, you gotta have better self-esteem, Richard, and it's, like, no, it's not. But it's a tough thing. Like, it's so funny, like, we'll talk about, like, how much, we both agree, like, cancel culture and that whole conversation is bullshit, but the minute someone, like, awes during my set, I turn into that person of, like, people are too sensitive, like, I immediately become a hypocrite.
I'm always so worried for the day that, like, people are going to try and cancel me online, and then I'm going
to
have to join the brigade of, like,
it's like, oh, it's real. It's like...
No, they're all right.
Yeah,
but...
Yeah.
In every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And complain about cancel culture before, so they're the ones raking in millions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
Because they think, like, their idea of being canceled is, like, people on the internet getting offended by something they say. I'm like, okay, we're welcome to be in the fucking community.
Right, exactly.
Offend someone. Anyways, it was a morning you talked about, actually. Some of my morning friends she was one of like, you're always going to offend somebody, so just say
oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, not wise.
Yeah, it's the thing, and it's just like, you know, it's so funny, you talk a lot, like, some of those people are not that bad, but, like, a lot of it, that's so funny, is, like, you, the one thing that's, like, kind of interesting to me is, like, the people who complain so much about, like, people being offended are offended so quickly, like, extreme right-wing people, it's, like, it's the one thing that's, like, so funny to me about it. It's like, okay, you complain so much about this, but, like, you totally fall for it each time of, like, okay, they're like, everyone gets offended nowadays by everything, and it's like, okay, I make fun of God and you're gonna throw a hissy fit.
Have you seen the videos of, like, Ben Shapiro burning Barbie?
Yeah. The thing with that,
40 years old.
The way that I look at that, you look in his eyes, you know, that's someone doing material, like, doing content they don't want to do. That is not something he wants to do. That is something his fan base, that is so stupid now that he has catered to, have forced him to do. It's like, he wants to be, like, an actual, like, and that's the saddest thing with him, is he wanted to be an entertainer, like, he wanted to be a director or whatever and just didn't work out. And then, like, it just sort of spiraled with the whole entire thing of, like, and also his cousin being Mara Wilson did not help at all either.
His mom was a TV executive and his dad is a composer.
Yeah, and it's like,
he had nepotism in his favor in every possible way and he still didn't make it.
Yeah, I saw a video of him at, like, when he was, like, 10, or, like, maybe, like, 9 years old, like, playing violin. He was playing violin at, like, what is it, one of the big theaters. And it was, like, crazy, like, how good he was at that. And it was, like, it would have been so amazing if he just stayed a violin player and was a violin prodigy his entire life and just stayed doing that. Then no one would have ever been, had to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they make movies, yeah.
I watched three of them. And I will say the most recent one I saw wasn't actually that bad. It was fine.
Like, it was digestible? Would you say, like, that would be, like, a way to put it? Like,
I didn't feel like I wasted 2 hours. Like, I don't know, six out of ten?
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wire spectacular. Made me feel as though I had never seen a good movie in my entire life.
Right.
It's not as bad as an American Carol for one reason.
Are you gonna
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I didn't want to cut you off another. I wanted to ask, do you think you're gonna cover that Sound of Freedom movie on your show at all?
I'm not sure. I think the market's already kind of oversaturated.
Right. And yeah.
Every time I've done a video on something like that, people are going to be talking about it, always gets like the least amount of views. So
right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Hide Fight, and it's the one thing that makes it a better movie than an American Carol. And that is that the lead school shooter, it's a school shooter. shoot. It's Die Hard yeah. getting the thing with a school shooting. The lead school shooter is kind of hot.
Ah.
And I'll shout it from the rooftops.
That's interesting. Well, that is always something that will make something 100% better. It's like, oh.
Hold the fuck up.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this person looks nice. That's... Right. That's how they get you. Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's...
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, and to me, like, as someone who, like, I wanted to be a screenwriter, like, that was my main first thing that I ever wanted to do. And I just was never good at it. Like, I never was as good at it as I wanted to be. So it's like, whenever I see, like, a movie like that done, I'm like, oh, so much could be done better. It's like, and...
It's physically painful to watch.
Yeah.
So prestigious that my new hobby is
playing
press up and roasting conservatism.
Right. What kind of stuff do you have planned next for your channel? Yes, I've been up on all that, I hate to say this, but I'm up on all, like, the tea on that. Like, I'm up on all that. I hate using that phrase, but I'm up on all of it.
No, it's a tea video. It's like, last year, I think, or 2019, I think, had thought of doing a video on it, just in general, just to, like, and just the whole, like, white savior complex.
Yeah.
I was forced into a conservatorship.
Yeah.
That's a doozy. Like, they really did make millions off of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. So, I really want to, like, do, like, I don't know about a deep dive, but I want to, you know, talk about it.
The one thing that, like, I think... like, it's kind of glossed over a lot, which is surprising to me, is really what they did to him, not just, like, with the, how fucked up the conservatorship is, that is very much, but I think in the movie, the one thing that's bad is how much they changed, like, they had enough to make that character not be him. They had enough to, like, not even make it, like, slightly based off him. They didn't even have to add his name to that character at all. It's completely not him in 100% of the way. Like, the way that they sort of made him, like, intellectually disabled when he's not is, like, such an awful thing to me. It's, like, so gross. It's, like, to me, it's, like, I can't imagine that, like, being done. And it's crazy. It's wild. And I just hope that whatever happens with that they just... that it just goes the right way, that everything works out in his favor, because they really shouldn't be able to do what they did to him.
Yeah, and it was also really sad is, like, this was before this news came out, he did go on record saying, like, yeah, I didn't like the movie, I didn't like the way they portrayed me or us or any of this. But at the same time, like, you know, I owe a lot to this family.
Yeah.
They did do a lot for me. They did help me become who I am now.
Right.
And now this coming out is just devastating.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part, is when people are involved that you like or you care about, and then it's like, okay, this is, like, I just saw that with his, like, adopted brother, whatever, the JT guy. He's like, he doesn't want to say anything bad about him, and he's like, you know, it's hard, because, like, they were close, but it's like, also, he's not involved in, like, what happened, really, anyway. Like, he was a child when that went down. So, like, it's also, that's the crazy thing, is, like, you have to deal with your parents being, like, evil, which is horrifying. Like, it's like, oh, they did this to him. It's like, this is not... Yeah, so I've been up on all that. It's crazy.
It's also sad, is like, people are directing hate at Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, why?
You know, I think what just happens also is, like, it just happens on, like, news sites and whatever, like, crappy news sites. They'll do, like, the article, and then instead of using, like, the real woman's, like, face, they'll use Sandra Bullock's face for stuff. And it's like, you know she's not her in real life, right? You know there's another separate lady that character is. Is a real person you can use the picture of. You don't have to use Sandra Bullock's face in this article that doesn't mention her at all.
Yeah, but it's also just like, it's common sense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ago, you know, like, and we're just now finding out about this today. Also, apparently, she's going through, like, a really rough time right now or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just like, hey, let's leave her alone, please.
Right. It's like, she just did her job. That's all she did was... She actually did a better job in making someone, like, seem better than they are. Like...
Yeah.
Like, that's what you can wish for. And, like,
Oscar, I guess.
Like, yeah, it's like, as opposed to, like, you know, in a lot of movies, like, people are portrayed incorrectly to what they are, like, and not shown in a good light. So, when a terrible person is shown as good in, like, a movie, it's like, that's not great. Oh, really?
My partner and I both are obsessed with Kitchen Nightmares. We're both obsessed with Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, weird cult personality.
Me too. I love Hell's Kitchen and all that, like,
Oh my god, we hate watch that show.
Oh, really?
Like, no other. And we just roast everybody on it. Like, let's just see these...
The one thing that's, like... The one that's crazy to me about that show is there's so much I always feel like, and it's the same thing, like, it's probably the same thing with a lot of comedians and, like, with cooks, is there's a lot of, like, I feel like there's a lot of undiagnosed, like, people that are put on that show that it feels like almost, I don't know, it almost feels gross to me, borderline in a way, of how, like, these people are, like, not mentally well, some of these chefs.
Yeah, some of them, like, there was that one, it was from, like, I think, like, season 2 or something, there was a former contestant who killed herself,
but yeah.
Was, like, the media spun is like, oh, Gordon Ramsay was a dick, she didn't kill herself. Like, no, she was already, like...
She was already, yeah, like...
Fucked up,
yeah.
I mean, it's again, it's like...
But I see that so much in the show, like, these people are, like, I feel so bad for them, because it's like, could you know there is that vetting process of, like, what they have to do to get the people on the show, and, like, all the stuff they sort of have to do, is, like, you know they mentally sat down with this person and, like, gave them some type of personality test to do whatever, like, to get whatever they want out of the show for future stuff, it's like, you just left that person undiagnosed with whatever shit they have. It's like... Oh, yeah.
So, like, they know how to manipulate the people on it in ways that they didn't even, like, without them even realizing it.
Yeah.
And they do it on, they've done it on Drag Race a bunch of times, and it's, like, really not fair. Like, they,
yeah.
Like, there have been times where, like, they'll make somebody do something, and then they'll edit it to make them seem insane. And it's like, why are you doing right. this to her?
Yeah, I've seen them do that a lot on, like, a lot of competitive shows, like, a lot of this, the, like, X Factor and American Idol stuff of, like, that, of, like, making them, that, and that's just, it's so weird to me. But, yeah, I guess I'm curious about that, too. I've never watched Drag Race or any of those shows before, and I was just curious, like, I saw, like, I didn't watch the video yet, but you did a video on RuPaul's Drag Race that I want to check out. Because I'm curious, like, is it accurate to, like, I guess the community? Like, it must be because it's such, like, a popular show, but I don't know. Like, is it something that's, I don't know what I'm asking. It's, like, is it authentic?
So, like, I have watched the show ever since it, like, first premiered on Logo in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like absolute dog shit. It's the most kitschy, stupid, no-budget thing, but it's also delightful.
Right.
All the camera lenses look like they have Vaseline smeared on them, and everyone is so, like, overexposed to the light. It's awful. Seasons 2 through 6 were, like, the golden years of Drag Race. Like, they were super... well produced, there were storylines, there were setups and chaos. It wasn't like over edited or over, or at least it would seem over edited or over produced. But the shows kept going, and now they just finished their 15th season, and that's just a regular show. There was also All Stars, there was like international events in every goddamn country, in every corner of the world, and like, you know, the facade is eventually, it's going to start slipping, and it is slipping, and you just start to see, like, you know, it's a different show than what it used to be, and, you know, the producers aren't going for telling stories anymore, they're going for stuff that'll, like, cause, like, it means clicks and outrage.
Right.
You know? And so they won't go for telling stories, they'll go for, like, making memes. That all comes from the queens. Like all the most iconic moments in the show, like, comes from the queens, not the producers.
Right.
You know, and the queens get like hardly anything.
Wow. Yeah, that's like, crazy.
Yeah, but I will say if you do want to watch the show, seasons 2 through 6 are like. I really liked 7 too, but 7 was like when stuff started to change. But like 2 through 6, absolutely fantastic television. Peak TV. It is a tremendous show.
Right.
And I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
As far as competitive reality TV goes, because I think it was supposed to be a cross between, like, it was supposed to be, like, America's Next Top Model, but with drag queens, but then it turned into something, like, so much better. Have you seen all the Gen Zers finding out about America's Next Top Model for the first time?
No, I haven't. I'll have to see, like, what that whole entire thing is, but I can imagine, because I've seen certain, like, I just know kind of the, like, a little bit about, like, those shows, of, like, that whole entire thing, but I'll have to see how, my That's the one thing that I always hate. Is like, I'm like, shouldn't you know this is how the internet is? I know you haven't been using the internet like I have since 2004.
But so. I think that's when that show started, but it was like, it was such a short time ago when it was like perfectly acceptable to body shame and fat shame, which is horrible. Like body shaming is awful, fat shaming is awful to me.
Right.
And it was like, just a few short years ago, it was such a normal part of life. Like,
it was everywhere.
It was like every fucking magazine that you'd see was just targeting women's vulnerabilities. And, you know, and then there was the whole, like, body acceptance movement in, like, the mid-2010s. And now, people, like kids or people who were, like, born in the 2000s, they're just, like, too young to remember the show.
Right.
They're finding out about it for the first time, and, like, you know, as you can imagine, like, their body shame was just absolutely rampant. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was absolutely, watching it now, it's fucking horrifying. And so now kids are finding out about this, and they're like, how is this on TV? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it was a different time. We didn't love ourselves like we do now.
Yeah, it's just, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So much has changed in such a short time. I think for the better, for the most part.
I think for the most part, too. I think the one thing that is there's so much more community than anything. Like,
yeah.
That's the one thing that I think that I've just noticed is there's so much more community for anything that, like, no matter, as much as, like, it's becoming way too much, like, the internet, at least it feels like we're becoming less, like, strangers to each other, which is a good and positive, negative and positive thing, which is, like, what? Sorry, what?
Like, if it weren't for the internet, we wouldn't be, like, talking.
No, of course, yeah. Of course. It's like, you know, the amount of people that I've gotten to meet doing comedy, especially, like, it's so interesting to me. Like, I'm a ton of people. Like, there's a couple people. Like, the way I listen to comedy a lot is I go on Spotify and I listen to, like, a lot of albums. And it's, like, funny, I'll see someone, and they'll be, like, the top comic in, like, Alaska or whatever. And then I'll friend them on Facebook, and it's like, oh, I have, like, 15 mutual friends with this person. It's, like, it's insane. But I even think, like, back then to, like, how I used the internet then compared to now, like, it would never, the stuff that would never go on, like, chat rooms and shit, like, I know that stuff still exists a little bit, but it's, like, not to the level that it is now where, like, you have, like, Facebook and, like, Instagram, where, like, you can see, like, actual people exist.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, like, my age, you just had to trust it. You just had to be like, I think this is another 10-year-old that I'm talking to. I'm 99.9% sure that this person's my same age.
2008 and 2009, those were my prime years for catfishing pedophiles on the internet.
Right.
I did that so much. In retrospect, low key makes me want to throw up. But I would say those were my prime catfishing years.
Oh, yeah. Like, you just think of it, and I was like, oh my god, how much has changed, like, for the better a little bit, like, definitely in some aspects, but, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this and being on again. And oh, what were you thinking about?
I just started thinking about those years. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, that happens. Yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing this again and being on and everything. And
Sure.
I'm glad that we were able to find stuff to talk about. I was like, I was nervous. I was like, oh, she doesn't do stand up anymore. I have to figure out what else to talk about. Like,
that was why I asked, because I was kind of nervous. But then I'm like, oh, we just should talk.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing of like, I'm the king of, pulling stuff out of my, so being like, it's the one thing I'm a master at, is like, I can bullshit, I'm a bullshitter, I can,
I don't think that you fake it,
no, it's not like being fake or anything, like, inauthentic, it's just like, oh, I can come up with anything on the fly, it's like, it's the same thing of, like, I'll have a set, like, all the set for, like, the night, and be like, I'm gonna talk about this on stage, and then be like, not commit to that at all and just go off on like a tangent on stage and be like, oh, I meant to talk about this tonight. I didn't do it at all. Yeah.
No, good.
Yeah, but I'm glad that we were able to cover a whole lot because, you know, it's just, it's cool that you have that channel. Like, were you surprised at the, like, audience that you were able to build in a short time, or was it, like, what was that to you?
So I've been doing this, like, a little over 2 years. I'm not, not as far along with it as I would like to be, but that's partially my fault, because I just don't upload as much as I should. I think, like, a year ago, the first video I ever did got, like, just suddenly started getting a lot of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting a lot of Gen X fans, because it was about, it was a dive on Buddy Cole from Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of, like, Gen Xers in the comments who were like, oh my god, I grew up watching the show. Thanks so much for talking about it. So, you know, and, like, I don't know, I'll hit my vape really hard and then remember, like, oh yeah, I have fans. That's fucking weird, dude.
Oh yeah, that must be weird, like.
It's so weird. Like, my partner and I will put like Eddie Brogax videos, like, on the TV in the background, and then I'll get my YouTube analytics, and it'll be like, X amount of people watched your videos on a TV. And I'm like, you mean there are people doing my videos what we do?
Right.
Like, Eddie Brodak, that's so weird.
Shout out to Eddie. He is amazing. Oh, I love his stuff so much.
He is one of my favorites. I don't know if you saw the one he just did where he went to every Margaritaville in North America.
Oh, I'll have to see that. That's so cool.
Oh, my God. Well, he did a Rainforest Cafe one, put the Margaritaville one. Level.
That is so great. I'll have to check that out. I haven't watched a lot of his stuff recently. The one thing that was cool to me was I saw he was doing his stuff on YouTube, and then I saw he got, like, a segment on Comedy Central, and I was like, oh, that's cool. They gave him, like, a spot. That's awesome. It was like, yeah, like, a couple years ago. And I was like, he did a segment for them, and I was like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Oh, shit, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah. That's the one thing that's, like, crazy with, like, TikTok and YouTubers, just, like, how people can get, I just like when people, it's, like, vindicated when people can get, like, the success they deserve, of, like, okay, this person deserves this attention, and this, like, praise of what they do, so. Yeah.
He's rad.
Yep. So do you have, That's, like, so enticing to me, actually, about... I listen to that song way too much.
I don't want to do it. But it makes for great content.
Yeah. So, anyway. How... How many times a week do you usually, like, or do you upload usually for your stuff?
It's usually, like, how many times a month? I hadn't uploaded for, like, a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Before today, and then before that, it had been, like, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just need to be more consistent with it, and it's 100% my fault.
No, I mean, it's tough to know. It's tough to remain on a schedule of anything. It's like the same thing with, like, do you do it, like, you does your person that helps you with your stuff on editing, do they take care of the TikTok stuff, or do you have to do that manually?
Oh no, I do all that myself. If I can ever afford it, I might start paying him to edit my videos.
Oh, that's
because I do all the editing myself.
Wow.
So it's like, time it takes to write everything, like planning a whole look for it, like it's a lot.
Right.
And there's like the money that goes into like buying things for certain looks and stuff.
Oh yeah.
It's the thing that I spend the most time and energy and money on is also the one thing I do that doesn't make me any money.
Oh, that's. That always seems like a reoccurring thing, though, with our generation. It's like this is the thing I do that I really love, and this is the thing that I have to do the thing that I really love.
That's a hobby for you. If I do ever end up getting paid to do this, the first thing I'm doing is passing off the editing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because he deserves it.
So, yeah. Anyway. It's such a cool name. Like, this might be a stupid question, but is it really, I didn't know if it was a joke for your video or not, but is the name really based off of Francis from Pee Wee's Big Adventure? Mm-hmm.
And then because I was also like, oh, Francis as in Francis Freeman from Deadpool.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just kind of tell people that.
That's good though, and it works either way for like reference wise. Like,
yeah. Also, I wanted a name that was a pun, and I wanted a gender neutral name.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for doing this, and I hope you have a nice rest of your weekend, and if you ever have anything you want me to promote or help you promote with, I can do that too. I always like to do that.
Yeah, alright, my YouTube channel is Queen Coke Francis. My social media handles are at Queen Coke Francis, and I promise to upload more.
All right. I
promise to be better.
All right, awesome.
Anyway.
Okay, I hope you have a nice rest of your weekend.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.